Kissing at home on the other side. all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions.
For our children, don't we? Yes, we do. I want to look back there at that. Why do we get nervous for our children? Why? Because we're nervous ourselves. And whenever she sings that song, I don't look at her in the face because I don't want her, because I joke and kid and cut up with her too much probably. But I'm proud of what she's done. Over the years, she's been singing special songs, and I appreciate that very much. When you sing for the Lord, it's a wonderful time, ain't it? I'm glad to be in God's house. Turn your Bible. I want you to turn with us to the book of Luke, the 8th chapter of the book of Luke. I want to read something that I've been in situations in my life where not knowing what tomorrow's going to hold, and I've get nervous, be very anxious, lose sleep. You ever done that? Where you think, well, I'm going to go to bed and go to bed early, and well, guess what? That don't work. You can go to bed, and that just means you toss and turn a little bit more often. And get to where a point in your life where you think, well, I just be so nervous as a cat, don't know which way's up. And you wonder if you're going to do the right thing. We're going to read about a lady this morning that had every opportunity to run the other way. It'd probably been easier to go the other way. It's a lot easier sometimes to try to avoid the problem than it is to face up to the problem. It'd be sometimes you think, well, if I just silent and don't make any waves, it'll all work out. Well, I think the Lord sometimes brings us to the part of our life where we really need to focus on what God wants for us, for me. I want to read something, Luke chapter number 8, and I want to pick up reading. This is when there was something else going on. Look, verse 40. There was a lot of things going on the Lord was doing. In verse 40, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, which meant when the folks were around him and gathered up, that they were rejoicing and happy. And it's kind of like when things are going well, you'll have a crowd around you. And that's the environment. The Bible says they received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house. He only had one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him, or the people got closer and closer. They were all around him in a crowd, we would say. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stanched. May we pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words. I pray, God, you'll help us and use us as you see fit. God, speak to hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It sounds like a situation where there's a whole lot of folks, and they were at a spot in their life where they were following the Lord. They were in a situation where here was Jairus that come with a daughter that's got a real bad situation. She's fixing to die. And the Lord was needed. The Lord was, in fact, it was so much that the Lord left and was traveling to go to that leader of the synagogue. That's kind of got the environment of men. They're doing exactly what they need to be doing. You see, a lot of times when we go to church, man, that's a good thing to do, isn't it? It's a good thing to go to church. Let me get the old human side. It makes you feel better to go to church. It makes you. Now, you might not know the songs a lot of times that we sing, or you might not know the tune or how to do it, but sometimes it's just pretty good to go to church. Sometimes it makes you feel good when somebody will say something funny in church, or something kind of crazy, or something will be said, make you cry. See, there's emotions in the church. I'd hate to go to church where everything's kind of dead, you know. It's kind of, whoo, whoo, you just wait and throw some dirt on top of it. But in reality, I want to go to church where you feel God speaking and moving. Now, where does he speak? Is it an audible voice? No, it's not the one that you hear. God likes to speak to the heart. And whenever the word of God is delivered and opened up, sometimes he speaks to about others in another situation, but sometimes it comes right home to us. This was a case. There was all kinds of folks around, and a man needed the Lord, and this man needed the Lord so bad. The Lord went and left and was going, though, and because there was so many, this one woman that had an issue of blood, if you go history-wise, whenever you had an issue of blood, you were really kind of a loner. Folks kind of looked at you a little different because there was a lot of things like leprosy in the Bible that they would cry out unclean and you had to stay away from folks. But sometimes when everybody's happy and rejoicing and going in one direction, sometimes you don't want to be the one that messes up what's going on. What do you mean mess it up? So have you ever went to church where you feel like everybody's looking at you? Have you ever went to church when it feels like everybody knows what you've done wrong? Man, I've been to church many times that way. But the truth of it is, folks around you are not even concerned maybe about what you're doing. They're rejoicing at what's going on. They're following the Lord. And as they're following the Lord, going to Jairus' house, a man that some of them might not have known, this poor woman was in a situation that had been a whole lot easier for her to just went the other way. It's a whole lot easier sometimes not to go to church than to go to church and be put in a spectacle. Does God put us on the spot? Does God single us out to put us on the spot? If I read a little bit further in the scriptures, as soon as she touched the hem of his garment, her issue of blood, it was healed automatically. Just bingo, just right there. And she would have went away in silence and nothing would have ever took place. No one would have ever had to know. And you know, sometimes that would be nice to come to church, get what you want done out of church, and be able to touch the Lord and go right out your door and not no one ever know. Boy, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But sometimes God does things for our good. For our good. I remember when David, in the Old Testament, when David sinned with Bathsheba. David done some very bad things, committed murder by having her husband killed in a battle. Doing all those things and being King David, he had to make a lot of decisions. Some of those decisions were right, and guess what? Some decisions were wrong. They had a prophet of the Lord come visit David one day, and the prophet of the Lord said, well, you know what? There's this man that's got one little old lamb, but now there's a whole, he had a whole bunch of at his access, but because of something happened, there was this man that had a little visitor come the way, and as he come there, said, we're going to, guess what? We're not going to take of my abundance. We're going to take that one little lamb, and we're going to slay that lamb. Boy, it made David mad. It made him so mad, said, you know what? We're going to bring that man to the forefront. We're going to place some judgment on that man because of what he did. He defied. Man, there's no way I can put up with a man taking one little ewe lamb. What did the prophet of the Lord say? Thou art the man. Ooh. I don't want to be put on the spot. I don't want the Lord to even bring it out. In fact, I want it to be kind of quiet. I don't want to be out in the limelight of things. I want to be silent in church. This woman, instead of going the direction with the crowd, her issue of blood was healed. She could have blended in and went right on with them, but no. She was actually willing to go the other direction. What happened was then the Lord said something that was kind of, I don't know what I would say, how I would say it. He said, who touched me? Who touched me? Let me go back to where she was at the beginning. Where we first read about her, she had went to many physicians and spent all. She came seeking something that no one else could ever satisfy. She come because a doctor, can you imagine? There, we got more doctors than we know what to do with around here, don't we? There, all kinds of special men, they do special things. One, you go to a heart doctor or whatever kind of doctor. They got them all special nowadays. And when you go to the particular special doctor, they specialize in one thing only. They don't really treat the general stuff. She went to a doctor. And you imagine in those days how doctors could have been. Well, I guess it's this way. I hope it's this way. Maybe this will help you or maybe this won't help you. And every time she went to a doctor, all the doctor would do is hold out his hand basically for money because that's all she ever got out of it. You ever been in a situation where it just seems like the more you try, the further behind you get? It seemed like, if I could just get this one thing taken care of, if I could just do one thing right. But she spent all her living on doctors that could not help her situation. And you know what? With that kind of blood issue, she was kind of an outcast. No one cares. You see, when you're lost without God, you think the whole world's against you. You think no one cares. When you're reading the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in me. Boy, when you read that part, all of a sudden God cares for even the mighty and the weak. He loves those that are rich, but he loves those that are poor. He loves those with good things, and guess what? He loves those with bad things. He loved me while I was a sinner. And when this woman had went to doctors and every time rejected and every time it seemed to be the same old story, all I really did was spend all of my money and nothing good ever accomplished out of it. I don't know why she was seeking another doctor. I'd have give up. I don't know why, because see, Jesus wasn't a physician, but was he? I don't know why she wanted to be healed when no one else could heal her. I don't know why she come to the Lord. But maybe she heard. You see, I don't know why in the world you ever want to come to church when you realize nothing else or nobody else can help me. Why in the world do you come to church? Friend, if I didn't think coming to church would get me just a little bit closer to God, because God's everywhere, but it just seems like when you meet together in one assembly, in one place, it's a good possibility God could be here. God could be here. And yet she had the privilege of walking on the very streets with Jesus. I don't know why she came to him. She needed a physician. But she thought maybe within herself, maybe, just maybe, he might can do some good. You ever been to somebody like a counselor when you have a problem? Oh, maybe they'll do some good. Or you go to somebody that's really smart in the school systems, you know, a professor. Maybe he'll do you some good. You see, you can spend a whole lot of money and get a whole lot of nothing. And that's her situation. But when she heard about Jesus being passionate, she had it in her mind. All she had to do was get to him, talk to him, and he would solve her problem. But it didn't work that way. The crowds were there. People all around. Jairus come, a ruler of the synagogue. Somebody in church with a greater need than hers came forward. And you know what? It would have been the perfect example, because what are me and you In the eyes of God, we think we're nothing. But God thinks we're something. We think we're a nobody. But God knows we're a somebody. And friend, whenever he said, "Who touched me?" Everybody else could have said, "Lord, you must be crazy. Everybody's all around you." No, he knew. Just like he knows your specific circumstances right now. God knows your heart. God knows your feeling. God knows your need. You don't have to ask God, "God, I need food on the table." God knows whether you need food on the table. God knows whether you need a roof over your head and shoes on your feet. God knows these situations. God knows these things. But you know what God really wants? God wants you to ask him. What do you mean? Because the woman went away and was not going to say a word. And Jesus kind of pushed the point and said, "Who touched me?" He wasn't going to let it just go. And because she was healed, and yeah, she got what she came for. And yes, she got all the things that was necessary. And it didn't cost her any money because she had no money to give. And when she was willing to go the other direction and go away, God was not going to let that happen that way. You see, if you've thought enough to come to God, God will not leave you in the same condition that you came. God is willing to take what you've got and give you greater. God is willing to take a sinful life and turning that life into not perfection. No, we think we got to work our way to heaven. No, sir. God's willing to take that old sinful life and wipe your sins away. There was something that Jesus said unto her when he said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" And all those folks, they began to say, "Well, Lord, what in the world are we going to do?" And he said, "I perceive virtue gone on me." She finally came to him. But I want you to notice what Jesus had to say to her. When she come to him and said, "Lord, it's me. I'm," she come down trembling, falling down. Verse 48 says, and he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." I want you to listen to this one thing he said. "Daughter." What do you mean, daughter? All of a sudden, her situation was, if somebody loves you, if somebody cares for you, they're going to know a little bit more about you than you think you know about yourself. All of a sudden, God spoke, and he spoke right as a family member would speak. Just listen to this. Just listen to this. You see, it's a different when a stranger don't know you. Some of you this morning that are here, I don't know you. You don't know me. I can tell you my name and all that, but that don't mean you know me. Oh, you say, "Well, that's the preacher." Well, that don't mean you know me. You see, because you can have all the credentials, but that don't mean you know. You know when you really get to know somebody? When you're part of the family. You might not like some of your family members, right? But then in a point, you might really like some of your family. You might actually love some of your family members. He said to this woman, "Daughter." You know how many barriers that broke down right there? You know how close you can get all of a sudden when God knows you better than you know yourself? Remember, food on the table, shoes on the feet, roof. God knows it ahead of time. But listen to this. God knows your heart. And when this woman came right there to that spot and she was troubled and now she had been healed, but the main thing Jesus said to her, "Daughter," all of a sudden it got real.
As the old terminology, it got where the rubber meets the road. Because when God recognizes who you are, and you recognize who God is. He says one thing, daughter, and he says, here's the condition I want you to be in. He says, be of good comfort. Now, and if I was to just say, Brother Vernon was talking about something earlier. He said, he was talking about another location. He said, you know, a recliner. If I talk about good comfort, I ain't going to ask you men folks to raise your hand if you got a recliner at home. But you know what a recliner is? A recliner is a lazy man's chair. I've got one. Don't worry. You don't have to admit yours. But I got a lazy man's chair. That means you don't just sit in a chair. You have to lay down in a chair, okay? That's a lazy man's chair. None of you claim, but I'll just take the claim for all of us men folk. Listen, be of good comfort. That wasn't the kind of comfort Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about, oh, just take it easy. He was talking about comfort in an area that there hadn't been comfort before. Here. Here. You ever look for peace and can't find it? I'm not talking about, oh, real peace like there's a war going. No, no. I'm talking about peace in here. Searching and looking and not being able to find. And yet coming to one man, to one person, to the Godhead, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come to him. That one person she came to was able, beyond a shadow of a doubt, to give her comfort that she never knew before. You see, when you spend all your money on doctors and your life for years has been in the same condition and there's no change, I want to tell you it's a whole lot easier to give up and run than it is to come to the Lord. But when she came and he said, daughter, broke that barrier, be of good comfort. Here's what he says next, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith. You know, I can believe in the government and they'll let me down, won't they? I get pulled over by a police officer for speeding and they'll let you down. They'll give you a ticket, you know. Knowing that I was innocent, guilty, you know. You were all that way. But they'll let you down, won't they? Hey, even sometimes your family will let you down. But the Lord will never let you down. He'll never let you down. That faith that she had was because she actually believed that God could do something or she never came. Go back to what I said earlier about church. Church is a good place to go. It really is. Better than any community thing out there. The language is a whole lot better. The partying, you know, the drinking parties that these folks have out there in the world. I'm telling you, this is a wholesome family place that you can come. But that's not the reason why I come. The reason why I come is because I can meet a person called Jesus that puts me in his family, that gives me peace and comfort that I've never had before. And I get that faith. What do you mean that faith? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. It just seems like the more I'm around God, the more I'm around his word, the more I'm around his influence, his things, all of a sudden things that I never knew come true in my own life. I can relate to this woman because she had a problem and God was the only one that could take care of it. I can relate to that. Because my sins, though they were many, guess what God does? He can wash them white as snow. Though my problems are great, though it seems like I'm in despair, yet when I come to the Lord, he's able to solve them, every one. Let me end you this right here and we'll close. When he saw a daughter be of good comfort,
Thy faith hath made thee whole. He said, go in peace. Go in peace. I don't imagine she wanted to go. Remember earlier when all the crowd was around and all those things happened, wouldn't it have been easier to go? You know, sometimes it's easier to say, well, I'll get there, but something happened that I don't like, I'm going to leave. Soon as amen, I'm gone. That's me. Oh, I'm getting out of there. But when you get what you need from the Lord said, go, but go in peace. Go with something you never thought you'd ever find. See, 12 years is a long time to bear that kind of problem. And I lived with sin all of my life. When I came to the Lord, He took my sin away. And He put something in there and said to me, go in peace. Listen to this. A peace that passes all understanding. I'm glad to know that when God moved into my heart, I couldn't explain it to the world. But I sure knew I saved. And I sure knew God had changed me from a creature that I was. Do I have my faults? I got plenty of them. Just what list you want me to start? But if I want to talk about the goodness of God, there's never enough goodness that God puts peace in your heart. You're here lost without God. You're needing something that only God can provide. Because I want to tell you, the crowds will have all kinds of answers, but only Jesus had the right answer. You may be searching for something. You may be looking for something. You may be saying, there's no way I can find it. Let me run as quick as I can run. But I got news for you. God can call out, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Brother Greg, a song. 344. Something, isn't it? When you come to church for one thing. You come to church for one thing, but you can actually leave church with another. You can come in turmoil, but you can leave in peace. A peace. How do I get that, preacher? It ain't by shaking my hand. It ain't turning over a new leaf. It ain't trying to do better. I tell folks all the time, be good. I shouldn't do that. Because there's no way we can be good. I do it all the time. Be good. Sounds really good. But it makes no sense. There's not a good thing in me except the Lord. You can have Him if you'll invite Him into your heart. If you'll invite Him. That ain't something that the preacher can do for you. It means something you got to do. May we stand and sing a verse of this song. God's speaking to you, and you do come. I'll pray with you. You won't be alone. But you-